Welcome to Authors Radio, Amplifying Voices, Inspiring the World. I'm your host, Alva Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Linnell Smith, author of the book titled A True Friend for Goody and Goody Lost at the Carnival, and as well, the novel Lost, Lies, and Betrayal, The Family Secret. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in those books. Linnell, thank you so much for joining us. Wow. Thank you so much, Linnell, for being here. And I'd like to start with asking, like, who is Linnell? Can you share a little bit about your background and what inspired you to become an author?
Mm-hmm. Who is Linnell? I am a parent of two young men now, 24 and 22. I work in a community. I'm a community liaison. I work in a community, which is a nonprofit organization called Helping Other People in Need. It's a 501c3 tax exempt organization, and I volunteer under that program. When I volunteer under the nonprofit program, I work helping youth with their literacy. So we write children books or we write children's stories to help build up their vocabulary. Also, I have a for-profit where I work with senior citizens working, helping them with their daily activities, washing, cooking, cleaning, and stuff like that. So that's basically who I am. I love giving back to the community. I love doing activities.
Yeah, and thank you so much for everything that you do in those kind of organizations. That's like something we like to applaud and amazing. And can you share a little bit about what influenced you to start writing these stories, particularly in your children's book?
Okay. In my children's book, I have a son that is intellectually challenged. And when he was born, he struggled where he stayed in the hospital. He stayed sick. So doctors kind of pretty much gave up on my son. And they kind of said to him, oh, he would never be able to do this. He would never be able to do that. He would never be able to do this. So with me being a type of mom, I don't take no for an answer. So I push and I constantly work with my son. So together, me and my son come up with stories for the book. Granted, yes, he's not big with really writing. So I write the books. He helps me with the ideas and I execute. So that's how it's more like bringing him into wanting to read, wanting to learn more different things and giving him other opportunities because he loves being around people as well. So, and he's a people person. So I say, well, how about that can be income for you? So that way we could create generational wealth and start building on that and using his books too as a way to give back to the community. Sorry, give back to the community. So that's how we started writing children's books.
Nice. And like in the book A True Friend for Goody, you address this themes like diversity and mm-hmm. acceptance. Like what inspired this story?
Well, A True Friend for Goody is actually a true story. What I did was his character, I took an old picture when he was a child and turned it into a cartoon character. So that's how we got his picture. But what inspired me is because I see so many children feeling out of place because they have a disability. And I want children to know that even though you have a disability, it still don't give other people the right to look down on you, treat you different. You still deserve respect, but also could be humble enough to learn how to build true friendship with other people that don't look like you and that are not like you.
Nice. And how did you write Goody's story in a way that young readers could also understand and connect with it?
what I do is when I've been writing books and stuff since I was in sixth grade. I have journals from when I was in sixth grade, and I always write. So what I do is, for you to capture children, you have to go into the children's space. So you have to learn how they talk. You have to learn the things that they like. So color is everything. So in the book, I want to be able to give them a lesson, not just for children, but for parents, where it could be a topic that they could discuss over dinner. They can discuss driving in a car. You know, they can discuss walking down the street. So I always try to create a space that can bridge that gap of mistreatment, because with society, you have so many kids now committing suicide because they've been bullied on social media, been bullied in school. So I said, well, why we can't bridge a gap and help with that? So the stories come out where we talk about friendship, how to do it.
And what message do you hope children and parents take away from this book?
I want children and parents to really, parents more so, really have a dialogue with their children and teach them about self-respect, self-discipline, and respecting other people. And teach them to be humble enough that because you see somebody that's different, whether it be race, creed, gender, that it's okay to befriend somebody that do not look like you. We already live in a society where racism and judgment is at an all-time high. Why not teach our children when they're younger to respect other people?
Yeah, and in Woody's Lost at the Carnival, there's like safety and awareness are the central themes. What prompt you to tackle this subject?
Woody Lost, that's another true story. He it's was actually, right? Some of the stories that I was writing will be true stories. One day we actually went to a carnival, and I used to always tell him about holding my hand and not darting off. So we was actually at a carnival with me, him, his dad. And he literally was standing there with his dad and literally disappeared because he's seen the rise of other people. But thank goodness that another person that was not too far behind us seen when he darted off, and they actually took him with him and watched over him. Now, the reason and the purpose is because we already have over 200,000 children going missing in the United States alone, being hurt, being abused. Children trafficking is at an all-time high here in the United States. It's really big. That's a multi-million dollar business that children go off missing and go into human trafficking. So I wanted parents, again, to have a conversation with your children about safety and how to act when they are outside, out of your room, when they are either lost or in an uncomfortable environment. So in a book, because I already was teaching my son the do's and don'ts, it stuck with him when somebody offered him candy. You understand? They offered him, and he remembered, no, my mom said to be like this, so he didn't go. But what if it was the type of child where the mother never had that type of conversation? They ain't normally going to go. You have predators. Will lure your children with animals. Oh, I lost my dog. Oh, I lost this. Can you help me find it? Let me take you to the store and get you some McDonald's. And you have children that literally walk off with these strangers. I know I didn't want my children to be like that. So because I didn't want my children to grow up like that, I wanted to make sure other children get the same message.
Yeah, and what strategies do you suggest for parents to discuss safety with their children inspired by your book?
One thing, when children go to school, because I see it all the time, I see children walking to school by themselves. It is imperative that you link up with other parents in your community or go to the parent-teacher meetings that they have in school and see what children live by you. So that way they are safer in numbers, twos and threes. A child that goes outside in the world in one is easier to take than three. So that would be one strategy. Another strategy is practice safety tactics in your home. Before they go to school, tell them the do's and don'ts. Remember, don't do this. Remember, do this. Remember this. Give out strategy two. Strategy three, give out security words. If a stranger comes and says, hey, your mommy said, come with me. Give a security word. What's the security word? If they don't know the security word, then you know your child should move on. If they can't, don't never tell your child to scream for help. Tell your child to scream for fire, because fire gets more attention than help.
Yeah, that's very interesting, and it's really helpful. Mm-hmm. And now changing like completely to your novel, Lost Lions and Betrayal.
Yes.
So it's like a complex theme. And what was the inspiration behind this story?
Lust, Lies, and Betrayal is actually a murder mystery. It's a suspense book. That is an adult book. That's not for children. What's behind that book is funding from that book is actually going to help me raise money for my safe haven home. I'm opening up a group home for children. Well, I'm not going to say children. Youth of 18 to 24. We are providing space for runaways. So we help them get their GED, high school diploma, their daily activities, life coaching, therapy. So that's why that book is there.
Okay, awesome. And there was a challenge when you were writing those kind of books, like as an author, did you face any challenge?
You get writer's block. Sometimes you get writer's block, but that would be my only challenge. Like, for me, I constantly have to carry a pen and paper because I'm constantly writing, or a recorder that can translate what I'm saying or record what I'm saying. So sometimes I might say, okay, say this. Or I might say this in Spanish. How do I say this way? Or how do I say that way? And basically, that's pretty much how I write. I stop. Sometimes I give myself that grace period to actually stop and let my mind rest. And when it rests, I stop. And then I go back to writing.
And like you mentioned that you work in the community. Like, what role does community engagement play in your work as an author?
As an author, what role the community plays? The community plays a big role because I see a lot of things that's wrong in our community, and I feel like each one teach one, and it really starts with us as an individual. If you want to see change in the community to make it better, don't wait for somebody else to be the change. You be the change. And that's how I write my books. So it's like, I don't want to wait for someone to give an outlet. I'm gonna be the outlet. So whatever direction I need to go in to help in that community, that's the direction that I go into to help.
Awesome. And what has been the most rewarding aspect of being an author so far?
When people see me in the community that I might have came across and helped, and I don't remember their face, and they come up and run to me and say, do you remember me? You helped me with such and such. And I say, oh, yeah. And I have no idea what they be talking about because I'd be forgetting. that to me is the best.
So it's like being in a community and the people know you and they know that you're doing like an awesome job. And that's something that it's awesome. And thank you for that. And now for those who are thinking on start writing, there's an advice that you want to tell them?
I say, well, people that want to get into writing but don't know how to write or where to start, I say just start. There's nothing beats just starting. The worst thing you can do is have an idea and not start writing. you don't always have to have the most grammar, the best grammar, because we have editors. You have different stages of editors that can fix your grammar. So I wouldn't worry about that. I would just worry about get the ideas down and then elaborate. When I write, and this is no lie, I take it back to when I was in second grade. When I was in second grade and you're learning how to write paragraphs and sentences, they used to draw a circle in the middle, and it's to say brainstorming. And then you put lines coming from out the circle, and then it's like the where, the what, the how, the why. That's how I write. So I do all my writing. I start with the brainstorming, the where, the what's, the why, the how's. And then I elaborate from each line. And that's how I write my stories.
Yeah, awesome advice. And are you currently working on any new books, any projects?
I do. I have a self-healing workbook that comes out in August. It's for men and women. It's a reading book and it's a writing book as well.
Okay, those ones in August this year, right?
August of this year, yes.
Okay, awesome. And now, like, for ending the podcast, how can listeners find your books and connect with you online?
You can actually email me too at N as in Nancy, as in Apple, K as in Kite, I as incomplete, as in Nancy. As in Apple, S as in Sam, M as in Maria, I as incomplete, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, at hopin2.org. I'm going to repeat it again. N as in Nancy, as Apple, K as Kite, I as incomplete, as Apple, S as in Sam, M as in Maria, I as in Tom, I as incomplete, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, at hop2.org. And you can find it on
webpage.
Yes, that's the website. And you can also find it on Amazon, anywhere, any bookstore. You can go to any bookstore and ask the name, and they can type it up because we everywhere. So Amazon would be the one that normally so many people recognize, but you can get it off of Amazon. You can go to any bookstore. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Linnell, for this podcast, this conversation. It has been a pleasure having you on Authors Radio, and thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check her books. Thank you for tuning in to Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. Join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.
Thank you.